This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Overdose deaths involving opioid painkillers quadrupled between 1999 and 2011, hitting a record 18,893 in 2014. The grim, startling statistics amount to an epidemic that local, state, and federal agencies and institutions are scrambling to stem. Since 2011, a cascade of regulations, policy initiatives, and restrictions, including close monitoring of prescribers, limits on doses, and crackdowns on so-called pill mills. The goal is to stop dependency before it begins and limit access to addicts. What do these restrictions on painkillers mean for the estimated 25 million Americans who suffer daily with pain, many for decades? Some of whom shared their story with our guest, Christopher Zara. He's news editor at Fast Company and reported on how the crackdown on opioids has affected patients with chronic pain. He wrote a piece called Treated Like Addicts for Vice. Christopher, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Hi, Virginia. Thank you for having me.
Well, you talked to several people who are suffering from chronic pain. Pick one of them, Cindy Lau. You spoke with a woman named Jacqueline Meltzer. Tell us how the crisis is affecting them.
Sure. I mean, I can start with Cindy because she had, I think, the most salient story of the folks I spoke with. She suffered from a very rare spinal condition that was the result of some surgeries that she had, and it's the kind of condition where there's no cure for it. So you have a situation where you can expect a lifetime of pain. And she falls into a bucket that I think is often missed when we talk about the opioid situation. She's tried every treatment imaginable. I mean, she even drank holy water from France to try to combat her pain, and none of it worked. But she's been on opioid therapy around 2 decades or close to 2 decades, and that has worked for her. But recently, she has had a more difficult time getting the medication that she needs at the same levels. Part of that is because of regulations in her state of California, and part of it is because doctors are just a little more hesitant, and of course there's research now that shows that opioids don't necessarily help everyone who have chronic pain situations. So you have these different elements coalescing into a situation that ends up being not a great situation for a lot of the patients like Cindy.
Well, we've all heard about the opioid epidemic and the numbers of often very young lives lost to overdoses. So there has been a great deal of legislation and policy changes on the national level, the DEA, the Justice Department, the CDC. What are they doing to curb opioid addiction?
Well, they're doing a lot of things. I mean, the CDC put out some guidelines earlier this year to really advise doctors on how to prescribe opioids safely. And one of the things they said was when it comes to a chronic pain situation, opioids just shouldn't be your first line of defense. You should not routinely prescribe them for chronic pain. These are all regulations that we can sort of debate back and forth, but you do end up with a situation where you have patients who had been dependent on the medication for whatever reason. The estimates are 8 to 12 million people currently on long-term opioids. So you have a real question of what to do with these folks who are already on the medication. So I think part of the issue with the guidelines that concerns people is that it's going to encourage this sort of one-size-fits-all treatment strategy that doesn't necessarily apply to some of the patients with rare conditions.
Which may be actually at the root of this. I mean, you went back through the history of pain treatment, at least for the last 20 years, and give us some context on how pain has been treated historically and its connection to people getting hooked on pain medication.
Yeah, sure. So in the 1990s, I guess is when it really started when the prescribing really started to increase. The American Pain Society had a campaign called the Fifth Vital Sign, where they said, you know, we should treat pain as a vital sign in the same way that we treat blood pressure and pulse and temperature and all those things. And that along with that, you had pharmaceutical companies. Purdue is the main one that's mentioned, that when they released OxyContin around that same time, marketed it very heavily as a cure, a sort of a cure-all for chronic pain. And in a lot of cases, I think doctors took the word of the marketing that they were listening to, and they did overprescribe, and they did for years. And I think we're sort of now coming around to the idea that, well, not just now, but I mean, people are realizing now that overprescribing was an issue, and so now you have the real question of how do you pull back on prescribing while also not throwing out these patients with the bathwater.
Now, several states and also national monitoring of how doctors prescribe or other caregivers prescribe, cracking down on people who've had prescriptions for over 3 months. Why is 3 months the standard?
That's a good question. I think that was the there was a team of medical experts who came up with these guidelines, and the chronic pain was just determined to be anything with pain lasting longer than 3 months. And I think you hit on one of the criticisms that you hear certainly from patients, that the 3 month rule feels arbitrary to them. Again, going back to patients who can expect a lifetime of pain, putting them in the same category as someone with a broken leg who is expected to heal and not have pain in a few months it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So to answer why, I'm not really sure how they came up with that number, but that's the number that the team of experts has sort of decided that was going to be considered chronic.
How is the crackdown on opioids affecting people who deal with chronic pain? Well, reporter and editor Christopher Zara is with us. He found that many of them are suffering and feel stigmatized. Christopher, there is this larger argument here. This is articulated to you by a man named Andrew Kolodny, if I'm saying his name right. He's a big critic of opioid overprescribing. And he says that people with chronic pain have, in effect, become addicts, and their pain is really withdrawal. Can you flesh that out for us and tell us
Sure.
the response?
I think you have a situation with where in a lot of cases you could argue that the people who had been treated shouldn't have been treated with the opioid medication to begin with. So you do have situations where people are either dependent or addicted to this medication they've been on for a long time. In those cases, certainly you can argue that if you took them off the medication, they would experience withdrawal pain. I think the larger question that I think Andrew misses a little bit, and we talked about this, him and I, is how do you decide which patients should be on it and shouldn't be on it in a way that's fair to everyone? When you have such a large group of people with so many different kinds of conditions and so many different manifestations of those pain symptoms, like how do you do it in a way that's fair without making broad statements like opioids are just lousy drugs for chronic pain, which is one of his one of his go-to statements. I don't know the answer to that. I think this, and when we talked about it, he admitted like that actually is the big challenge. Like, what do you do with all of these different patients, and how do you deal with it in a way that's fair and in a way that looks at them as individuals?
Well, which I guess is part of the stigma that you refer to in the article. Why do these people feel stigmatized?
Yeah, I think why they feel stigmatized is, there's been a lot of news in the press about this, and rightfully so. I mean, I don't want to say for a second that I want to be very careful about how I say this, because, when I talk about it, sometimes people think I'm making light of the real problem that is out there, and that's the problem of drug abuse and overdoses and addiction and all that stuff. It's very real, and I don't want to say that it's not. I think why people are feeling stigmatized, the patients, is because the narrative now has been so focused on the addiction. You can imagine if you were on this medication and relied on it, how you would feel every day seeing a new story about the opioid crisis, and here you are, you have them in your medicine cabinet and you rely on them. To me, it's pretty obvious why you would feel, stigmatized.
Right. So the difficulty is in distinguishing those who really need these drugs in order to function and have been on them for a long time. Suddenly they're pulled away.
Yeah.
So what kinds of regulation then might make a difference and might make that distinction?
You know, I think that's a really, really good question. It's a tough question. I think part of the answer, I think, lies in the healthcare system itself and the way doctors deal with patients. I heard a lot of stories from patients who just feel they were not getting the individualized treatment that they needed. You walk into a doctor's office, they give you 10 minutes. Sometimes they'll write you a prescription. Sometimes they'll, talk to you, take your blood pressure or whatever, and then you're out. Like, there's not a whole lot of time to deal with the patients who need extra time. So I think part of the answer lies there, and then that gets into a whole discussion about, how broken our healthcare system is and how do we fix it. I certainly don't want to blame, doctors who in many cases are overworked and dealing with their own sets of issues. I mean, in my own personal situation, my doctor just sent me a letter saying he's not going to use insurance anymore. So I can still go to him, but I can't use insurance because it's just so much of a hassle for him that he's done with it. So it's a really big, complex problem. But the answer, I think, lies in figuring out a way to make treatment better for patients who have conditions that, don't fall into a category that's easily treatable.
Christopher Zara, news editor at Fast Company, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me.
Christopher is also author of the book Tortured Artists, From Picasso and Monroe to Warhol and Winehouse, The Twisted Secrets of the World's Creative Minds. He wrote about how the opioid crisis has stigmatized people with chronic pain in a piece for Vice called Treated Like Addicts. There's a link to read it at wordofmouthradio.org.